I asked Dave to stop by here because I'm not watching this video that is titled The Epic Disgusting Removal of a Blackhead 25 Years in the Making. That's just not a button that I'm going to click to bring that into my home.
I am not with you, Bean. I
so
am with you.
Either.
Nope, and I won't. No interest in that.
So we thought it would be interesting. I want Dave to tell us about this video so that we don't have to watch it. But we thought it would be interesting because there are lots of scenarios, and I've seen stories from time to time in the news, where people decide, and I'm sure that a lot of times, I'm sure there are two reasons why you don't go to the doctor to have something removed from your body. One is you can't afford it. You don't have health insurance, and you know every time you step into a doctor's office, it's going to cost you a couple hundred bucks at least, right? And two is, depending on what's stuck in your body and where, there may be an embarrassment factor.
Sure.
I think those are the two reasons people end up doing self-surgery. Well, I guess there is a number three. And number three is time is critical and you have to do self-surgery. Otherwise, you're going to die. Maybe that would be another option that might come into play in some scenarios.
In my opinion, self-surgery is always a good idea. Does everyone agree with that? Are we all on the same page or no?
I'm absolutely in.
You've
well,
done
I
it.
Hear about
I've
that,
done
Dave,
it.
But yeah. Let me give out the phone number. For people who have ever conducted self-surgery, you've done a procedure on yourself that normally would have been done by a doctor. We want to hear from you, and we want to hear what the circumstances were and why at 1-800-520-1067. Dave, what self-surgery did you perform on yourself?
I removed an ingrown toenail.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that was not pleasant.
Ouch. How did you cut into yourself? What did you use to cut into yourself to get the nail out?
The nail itself. I started clipping the nail, and I just kept pulling and pulling. And at this point, it was so much pain, I just had to keep going. So it, you know, it hurt.
That's the type of thing, if you had gone to a doctor, even if you'd just gone to one of those, you know, walk-in clinics or something like that, at least they could have put a little shot in your foot to numb it so that you wouldn't feel it.
Let's just say that it didn't solve the problem. It probably made it worse.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Yeah, so I don't recommend it. And then when I actually went to the doctor, I was like, really? That was it? That's it?
That's all it was?
That's all it was.
Really? Wow. So
that
you made it
so
a lot
much
worse.
Easier. Oh, totally. Yeah. So, yeah, do it. I mean, it's fun.
I've never done the self-surgery thing, although you said if it should be taken care of by a doctor. I did break my nose and it was crooked, and I saw on TV, you know, a guy straightening it out. So I just went in front of a mirror and just went,
yeah, we do that all the time. I play basketball in this gym, and people who jam their fingers or dislocate them, we just pull them back in. And keep going. Yeah, just keep going. I've seen this on TV.
But self-surgeries, I mean, if you've taken it a step further than that, let's say that it involves stitching yourself up. That's
right.
The best.
Oh, yeah. Before we go to James, I opened this conversation by talking about this video that Dave sent out.
Yes.
Again, the title is, and good morning, everybody, The Epic Disgusting Removal of a Blackhead 25 Years in the Making. Now, I know in the description that this had been something that had enlarged over 25 years to the size of an eraser head.
Yeah.
And then how does she take it out? And what?
We don't want to know the answer to that.
Well, listen, it's not that bad. I think the title was overselling it a little bit. All they show is her picking at it with a pin and just digging and digging and digging, and more of this stuff comes out.
Who's hungry?
Why would she film that?
I don't know. I think it must have been bugging her. And you know, she has, like, her family around her, so they're commenting on it, you know. And when it's finally done, it, like you said, it's the size of a razor head, and it's just, like, this little black thing, and it's gross.
Heard enough of that one.
And you're like, huh, that was in you for 25 years. And it's funny to read the comments of, you should have went to a doctor a long time ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
That could have turned cancers. It's like, see, you don't need a doctor. You can just do it yourself.
Well, you do sort of need a doctor.
Listen,
in most cases.
Learn from me. I've done it. It's fine.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
The comment describes what was removed as what looks like a rotting Tootsie Roll.
All
so
right.
I'll leave that image
Enough
with
of
you.
That.
As we move on to our good friend James, he's up first. He's on line one here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about self-surgeries. James, what did you do?
Well, I had played with my face a lot when I was younger, and I ended up getting a cyst on the side of my cheek.
Right.
I kept messing with it, of course, and it ended up getting about the size of a golf ball.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm going to get this thing off my face, because, like you said earlier, it just costs a lot of money. And so I proceeded to take a needle and jam it in there.
Oh! Ouch! Why did this topic seem like a good idea yesterday?
Man, I don't want to hear any more.
it went so far in that I felt it touch my cheekbone and, like, kind of scrape on it. Well, I had a friend, of course, record this because I just couldn't do this without getting it on video.
Right, sure.
And so it ended up getting a little bit smaller, and here, like maybe 2 or 3 years later, it was still on my face. I finally went to a dermatologist and had him cut it out. It was just a little cyst. It was in there about the size of a grape.
Wow.
So don't pick your face.
Did you?
Okay, good tip.
Do you have a scar?
Good tip.
Yeah, I do. I have a little scar.
Yeah, battle scar.
That's not a battle scar.
That's him being an idiot.
That's a dumbass scar, Dave.
What are you going to say? Oh, I had a cyst in my face, so I took it out myself. No, battle scar. I got shanked in the face.
Knife fight.
Yeah, knife fight.
I did time. All right, James, thanks for the call. Hey, we got some fantastic calls here.
Worst that I thought we would ever get.
Chris, you hang on. Rob, you hang on. Oh, a fight in Hong Kong. I love that. Jason. And when we come back, we got to talk to Jason, who had a staph infection on his penis. So how do you think that went? We'll take those calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K. Right now, we're taking your calls on self-surgery. I don't know that this is an outstanding topic for people who might be eating breakfast. But you can decide once you hear from Jason, who had a penis staph infection, and he's up first. He's on line three on the Kevin and Bean
Show. I already regret this topic entirely. I hate these stories. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
You performed self-surgery. What happened?
All right. I ended up with a spider bite on my penis.
Okay.
And instead of just being a normal itchy spider bite, it, like, swelled up.
Sweet.
So I popped it to let the poison out, was my theory at the time. And I apparently let a staph infection that was on the surface skin in.
Oh, no.
So I go to a Planned Parenthood thinking it's like some sort of STD.
Right.
You know, bumps are kind of common. And they say, okay, we'll get results in a week. And everything comes back negative. And by then, it had reached about 3/4 of an inch wide and 1/4 inch deep.
Oh, my God.
Eating. Just like a hole. And so I pulled it out to the doctor and said, look at this. This is not clear. So they sent me to the hospital, gave me antibiotics and all kinds of medicine.
Sure.
That didn't work for 2 weeks. So I just sat at home one day, grabbed the tweezers, and took out and swabs and just cleaned out the whole thing from the inside and filled it with powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar?
Nothing can live in a pure sugar environment, so it kills all bacteria.
Who knew that? I'm not even sure Jason knows that.
Sugar. We're going to ask Dr. Drew. We're going to have Dr. Drew on next hour. We're going to source you on that, Jason, all right?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go to Rob. His involves a bar fight in Hong Kong, which I think leads to an interesting self-surgery story. He's on line five, and he's up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
So you're in Hong Kong.
Yeah, so I'm in Hong Kong and get into a bar fight, and my lip gets split open about 1/2 inch. And because I had left my passport in the hotel room, we jumped on the train and got back to our hotel room as quick as possible. And rather than going to the hospital, I decided to get a call up room service and get a sewing kit sent up.
Oh.
So then I sewed up my lip, and about the time I was finished, my buddy called and asked if I was okay, if I needed any help. And I said, yeah, I need you to come down here quickly. And he comes to the door, and I said, I need you to finish tying the knot. I can't do that part.
Did you make good stitches, though? I mean, did they work?
They worked. I wouldn't say they were medical professional grade, but closed my lip up. And,
all right. So for you, that worked out.
It worked good.
Oh, there you go. All right, everybody.
Thanks for the call. You know, it's funny because in so many movies, you see the heroes get shot or knife fight or something like that, and they stitch themselves up in a dingy cave or something like that. But I didn't know that regular people also did their own stitches. Let's talk to Chris. He's on line six. He's up next. By the way, have you noticed that 100% of the people that have called have been men who have done self-surgeries? Women are smarter than men, apparently, and they go to the doctor.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What happened?
So I've always been the self-surgery type. You know, you get something on your hand, cut it out with an X-Acto, sear it up with soldering iron, that kind of deal. So I had a cyst about 1/2 inch wide on my neck, and one day I just got tired of it. I took a lighter to a pair of fingernail clippers and just kind of cut the thing out.
Oh, my God.
Took about an hour to get everything out of it, but put a nice little hole in it, squeezed everything out, and it turned out fine, actually. I have no scar, absolutely nothing.
But it took an hour to get everything out of that. I mean, at some point, don't you want to just pass out from it?
No, well.
You had been drinking, hadn't you?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to drink to get through that.
But all right, it was worth it.
All right, so everybody's happy so far. Good.
thank you for the call. Look, we only have time for one more. I'm going to vote for Antonio on line two because I don't even understand what he pulled out of his foot.
Hey, Antonio.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
So, I had what I think might have been a fungus on the bottom of my foot. It was like on the arch.
Right.
And I decided, you know, I was looking at it, and it was bugging me to the point where, you know, I would, if I walked like that, certain times it would just hurt. So I got tired of it one day and grabbed the fungus, quote unquote, and just yanked as hard as I could and pulled it out. It had a root to it, though. That's what was the weirdest part.
It had a root.
Yeah, it had like a root to it. There was an actual root.
You had a tree growing out of your foot.
Or a sublimated twin. What the hell?
I don't know what it was, but as soon as I did that, excruciating pain and lots of blood.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, did that work or did you end up having to go to the doctor?
Well, it worked. I mean, I haven't gotten it back. I've checked into it every once in a while.
Come on. Look at the success rate we have, Bean.
That's a good point.
I'm sure doctors would advise you differently, but our listeners say it works.
100% of the time, they did self-surgery and they were happy. Inspiration is an interesting thing, Lisa. I don't know what it is, because I'm a, you know, as many of us are here at K-Rock, a music fanatic. What is it that makes somebody so great and then the switch just gets turned off and they can never write another good song?
Oh, yeah. That's sad when that happens. It happens a lot.
It happens a lot. You have that brief moment of inspiration. Or in the case of Neil Diamond, you have decades of inspiration where everything you write is great. I mean, this is a guy who goes back to the early 1960s with songs like Solitary Man and then Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon and Red, Red Wine, Kentucky Woman, Cracklin' Rosie, I Am, I Said. The guy just had hit after hit after hit after hit. And then starting in around the early 1980s or so, all of a sudden, everything sucked. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's lucky that he's got the kinds of songs that continue to be played all over the world. He's still a huge attraction on the road. People will always love those 70s and, you know, 60s, 70s and early 80s songs. But ever since then, every time he comes out with a new song, you're like, seriously, don't even know.
What? Do Caroline.
Right, exactly. Well, the reason I bring all this up is Neil Diamond is in the news, and we are about to be inflicted with another new song. He has written a song called Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. It even has a terrible title, and it is a new patriotic song that he wrote that I think was inspired by the terrible marathon bombings in Boston. He is going to be unveiling it on the 4th of July, two live performances, one at a Nationals baseball game and then on PBS for the Capitol 4th, which is their special to do with all the fireworks and the National Symphony and everything like that. So Neil Diamond has a brand new song, and we thought, you know, we've got a relationship with Mr. Diamond. Let's get him back on the horn, see if we can find out more about the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. Hi, Neil.
Kevin and Bean. How are you doing today, guys?
Well, we're doing fine. Congratulations on, I guess, on the inspiration that found you writing another new song.
Well, thank you. And thank you for that very hurtful intro.
Well, I apologize. It's just that your material from the early days holds up so well.
Thank you.
Right. But then you look at your songs, especially from the 90s and then the decade after that, and you go, wow, this can't be the same guy.
Well, it's possible that my best writing has been behind me. But right. I like to think it's all ahead of me. And I like to think that, as you were mentioning, inspiration is the thing that really helps an artist find himself.
Well, you said this Boston Marathon bombing really, really affected you, as it did so many Americans, and that it's a song that you had to write, and you wrote it, and it took you 6 weeks to write and record. So you spent quite a bit of time on this one number.
Well, I was so moved by the people of Boston that the inspiration was everywhere. And I decided I had to write them a song to try to lift their spirits the way they lifted mine that time I sang Sweet Caroline at the baseball game.
Right, which was a beautiful, beautiful thing that you did when you volunteered to show up at the Red Sox game, right? All right, so the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
The Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Right, that's what I said. What's it like, Neil?
Well, it's a song that I wrote. In fact, I was so inspired by the people of Boston that I wrote three songs.
Oh.
All called the Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Really?
Three different numbers with
three
the same title?
Three different songs I was so inspired that three songs sprang from my mind.
Okay.
And it made me so happy to be singing for these people that three different songs came out of me, and I am still working in the studio deciding which one I will finally decide on as the freedom song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Can we help with that? Maybe you could give us a preview of what they sound like?
Sure. Three brand new songs by me, completely original, never heard before, inspired by the people of Boston. Once again, the title is The Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down.
Never Take Us Down. All right, the great Neil Diamond here on the Kevin
Beach. Give me a little taste of each. The Freedom Song. They'll never take us down. They'll never take us down because we've got the freedom song. The freedom song. They'll never take us down.
Right.
Freedom song.
Okay. Is that it? That's all you got on that one so far?
They'll never take us down. The freedom song. They'll never take us down.
Okay, the freedom song. Got it.
That's the first one.
Okay. Isn't that just you singing over the karaoke bed to Love on the Rocks?
How dare you, sir.
It just sounds so much like
a brand new song inspired by the people of Boston.
Okay,
one
so
of
that's
many songs that have just come springing forth from my creative consciousness.
All right.
To lift the spirits of people of Boston up.
Understood. So that's the freedom song, They'll Never Take Us Down. That's take one.
That's one option.
All right. What else you got?
I've got another version of it I like a lot. I can't decide which one to go with, but I think this one's pretty catchy.
Okay, let's hear it.
Freedom song. They'll never take us down. Because we've got the freedom song, they'll never take us down. The freedom song.
You must have more lyrics than that, Neil. That can't.
Freedom song. They'll never take us down. The freedom song.
Okay, I think we get it, actually.
They'll
Neil.
Never take us down. They'll never take.
Thank you, Neil.
All of us down. The freedom song.
All right, again, that's just you reworking Forever in Blue Jeans.
The freedom song.
Okay, Neil.
They'll never take us down because we've got freedom song.
Neil, come back to the phone.
Yeah, hello.
Neil, come back to the phone.
That's another version. I like that one a lot.
You haven't written any lyrics for you're just repeating the title over and over again.
That is not the case at all. It's about freedom.
Right, I understand. They'll never take us down.
They'll never take us down.
Yes, I get that.
I don't think you understand what it means to the people of Boston.
We're out of time.
No, I've got one more song for you.
Okay, one more. Then we got to go.
Song. The freedom song. They'll never take. Never take us down. Take.
Okay,
they'll
listen,
never
Neil.
Take us down.
It's just America. That's
it's
all.
It's the freedom song.
Okay.
They'll never take us
never
down.
Never take us down. All right, Neil Diamond, good luck with the new song. Good luck with the appearances on the 4th.
Got a song about freedom. They'll never take us down.
Please don't write any more songs,
singing
Neil.
Songs about freedom.
All right, we gotta go.
About the fact they won't take us down.
Happy holidays,
down.
Neil. We'll talk to you.
That's well, they'll never take us. Cause we got the freedom song. Singing about freedom.
Okay, we're out of time.
And about not being taken down.
I vote for song 3 if it'll get me off the phone.
Freedom.
Okay.
It's a...
Oh, come on. Really?
We're fine. Come on.
Oh, that song made me sick.
Hey, just announced it's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013, or 2012 as it says on my paperwork, because this is K-Rock.
It does say 2012, so you get to go last year.
Stop number one is the Outside Lands Festival in San Francisco with another great lineup this year, including the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also Phoenix, Nine Inch Nails, Vampire Weekend, and more all week long here on the Kevin Amin Show at 9:10. We'll give you a chance to get on the standby boarding list, and then throughout the day, just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6 o'clock. You can get those details at krock.com.
There are some strange people in the world, and the next one we're going to highlight either has 22 kids by 18 different women or 18 kids by 17 different women, depending on which report you watch.
Okay.
So he doesn't really even know.
I don't think
he
knows.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't think he knows. But he's not terribly worried about it.
Now, before you play the tape, what NBA team does he play for?
He does not play for the NBA.
Oh.
Nope.
He's missed his calling.
He doesn't have time. This is a reporter interviewing him about how many kids he has, and I believe he's outside a courthouse because they're trying to get some kind of child support from him, which he can afford none of.
Right.
$0.
When you've got that many kids, and I don't know, I guess I'll find out what this guy does for a living or what his financial situation is. I mean, even if they take you to court and
they win, right?
What do you have? You give each of them $1 a month? I mean, this guy can't provide decent child support for that many kids. There's just no way.
No, but you'll find out what he does provide in this report.
Are you a good father?
If I wasn't, go in there and ask them, how many times have I ran? Every time they done call, I come. I come for anything. It doesn't matter. These are my kids we talking about right here, my siblings. Nobody else's.
I understand, and that's why I wanted to ask you. And you seem like a good guy. How many children do you have?
All right, now here's where he tries to recap the number of kids.
And that is not a difficult question for most parents.
No.
Roughly 18.
Okay, now.
Roughly.
There's no roughly involved in kids. You either have a kid or you don't. Maybe it's just he has some he's not sure about. Roughly 18. 18 kids.
Wow, he must come around in a lot.
Yes, he must. So then he continues.
By how many mothers?
17.
There you go. 18 kids, 17 women.
Now,
that's a guy who's looking for trouble.
Once you've had the first one, maybe it happens again. But you make sure it never happens after that. If you're indiscriminately impregnating women, don't. Haven't we come up with some way to prevent pregnancy?
Nope. You can't prevent it. It's weird. You would think the medical science field would be able to come up with it. But no.
Sure.
They can't.
You can see why some people are going to say, that's a little bit odd.
Well, they'll be okay. They're my kids. I love my kids, and I can care less what anybody think about it.
Are you able to pay child support?
All right, so there's the big question.
Yes.
How do you support 18 kids?
I can't pay no child support right now. They know I can't pay them no child support right now.
They know that. I don't know why they're bringing me to court. Yeah. I got nothing.
But I got love.
I got love.
I guess.
But I got no money.
Why do you think I'm out here mentoring and talking to kids and doing all this stuff? It's whatever it is, man.
By the way, that's a good... You know how we always have our non-answer answers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You need to add that one to it.
It is whatever it is.
Look, it is what it is. Because it's strangely impossible to argue with.
Yep, you can't argue with that. It happens to be true.
You get what I'm saying? Whatever.
Do you think you'll have any more children? I mean, you're a young man.
Don't want no more kids. I want to be fixed. I got kids right now that's 15, 16, and 17 years old. They'll miss.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It's a lot of kids. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you name them all?
Oh, that is the best question ever.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
I love it. Can you name your kids?
By the way, I don't know that they've said this in the piece, Kevin. He's 33 with his 18, Jeez. Approximately 18 children.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I can name them all.
Give it a shot.
Do you really want me to do this?
Can you name a few of them? You said 17.
Hey, look, all my boys' name is Orlando.
Okay. All his boys. Awesome.
His name is Orlando, so the baby mamas named the kid after their daddy. I wonder how many of those women know that there are other little Orlandos running around.
Orlando, stop it! The whole room goes quiet. All right, so now they're not exactly Orlando.
One of my boys' name is Tashawn. One of them is Quarlando. Then I got Orlandria, Onisha, Omika. Okay, you get what I'm saying? I can name them. I got Miracle, Tamia. I got Will. I got them everywhere. I got them. Hey, I named them. I named these kids. Me.
So he's trying to make the point that he's the one that gave him the name, not the mom.
Uh-huh.
I would love to meet some of these moms.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Is your hope, and you can go back and forth on me, but are you able to have a relationship with any of the mothers at all?
Yeah,
get to
all of them.
They're not any of them.
No, no, no. Okay. Hey, listen. I have relationships with every last one of them.
Liar.
He has relations with every last one of them. That much we know.
Some of them are better than others, but we still communicate. At the end of the day, one thing about mothers is this. When the kids are small, they're like a mother's priority. What I mean by that is mothers deal with them better when they're smaller.
And I don't have to do anything about it.
It's as if when they turn 10, 11, 12, I really have to pull out the big guns. You get what I'm saying?
But will you be there for them as the father? You have all these children.
If they kill me or if I don't die in a car wreck or none of that, I'm here.
But how do you father to that many children with that many women? It's hard to be in more than one place at once, isn't it?
It's called cell phones. It's called pick them up. You got to have it. You got to have it worked out.
Right.
You're
going
to get snipped. But what about contraception? Was that just not an option for you?
I was young, ambitious. I was just young and ambitious, and I loved women. Hey, you can't knock no man for loving women. Now, what I didn't know when I turned 33, everything that I did from 16 to 18, it's biting me. It's biting me now.
It's biting him now because all of the kids are wanting money.
USA!
Yep.
USA! USA!
You can't knock him.
Not for loving women.
You can't knock him for loving women.
Ladies like you.
The ladies love me. They don't like me. They love me.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
A lot of babies.
So the big guns is a cell phone. Did I
believe
read that right?
So.
He brought out the big guns?
He will occasionally call one of them.
All right.
Orlando.
Very disappointed to tell you that Local H will not be appearing in the Red Bull Sound Space on Friday night.
Oh, damn.
We tried. They were very busy.
How about Local J? Are we at Local J? Are they available?
Nope.
Local
but,
I.
Nope. The good news is Avenged Sevenfold is going to be stepping in instead. So that's just as good. That's going to be this Friday night in the Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock. If you would like to go for free, you listen to our girl, Nicole Alvarez. She has your tickets tonight here on K-Rock after 6 o'clock, all evening long on K-Rock for Avenged Sevenfold. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Yes.
Why are you in here?
Well, I just want to, you know, address the white oppressor. And see if maybe we can get you to change your attitude towards not only your help, your own help.
How dare you? I heard every once in a while there's
boss Kevin, plantation owner Kevin, or, you know, maybe make you change your ways a little bit.
Every once in a while, there's a terrible story on the news where you find out that somebody has, usually they have an illegal immigrant who's living or working in their home, and they make them prisoners. They make them so that they're unable to leave. Right. They bring them over to this country, and they say, hey, you're going to start a new life. We're going to give you work. But then they find out that they're just in the slave trade.
This is a great story.
Human trafficking,
this is a great story, but it has nothing to do with me.
So Ralph uncovered the other day that apparently that's going on right in our own midst with our man Kevin, or as we now have to refer to him, Massa.
Yeah. Kevin apparently has, well, as you can imagine, a wealthy white landowner that he is, has a voluminous staff of minorities that work for him, and one of them, Lupita, his maid, has a dual job. So not only does she have to clean up after Kevin, who lives like an 8-year-old, let's face it. She could spend all her time just cleaning out your pockets.
It's true. And your car. Forget about your car.
Pulling out the jacks and the yo-yo and the frogs and stuff that you keep in the front of your overalls, Dennis the Menace. But she, of course, is the housekeeper. She cleans the house. She slaves away trying to keep his mansion tidy.
How dare you.
And she has a dual purpose because Kevin, as you know, has a DVR just chock-filled with Spanish language soccer programs.
Right. Kevin can't get enough of it.
That's right.
Here's the thing. My one of my favorite teams is FC Barcelona. So, of course, they're
sure.
In Spain.
We all feel that way about FC Barcelona.
And there are a lot of times in the past when their games would be on live on a Spanish channel, but it would be like a delay of a full day before I could watch it in English. Right. So I would watch it in Spanish and not understand it.
So you're watching ESPN Ocho.
Yes, or whatever it is.
La Lengua, or whatever it is.
It's La Liga is the name of the league
okay,
there.
Okay, I see. And you're watching that programming.
Yes.
And you do not speak Spanish.
Correct.
Not a whit. Not a word.
But I know soccer well, and I know all the players, and I know the...
Well, that's what I'm curious
just watch
about.
The game, and then you just watch the game.
Yeah. It's not like football where there's a lot of intricacies going on that you can't see or don't understand. Soccer's pretty straightforward. Can't you just watch it with the sound down or off?
Just when they do this. Goal! Just assume something good has happened.
Well, she was downstairs with me one day, and we were watching the TV.
One day.
And I said, what are they saying? And she said, oh, they're saying this and this and this and this. And I was like, great, have a seat.
Yeah, so Kevin forces his maid to translate Spanish language programming for him while he watches it. He makes her a human SAP. That's what she does.
Force her.
You're the boss. You're paying her. You're hiding her in the closet when the INS shows up. You're the guy who controls whether she goes back to her home country or not.
She's completely legal. This is absurd.
Of course you control her and you get to order her to do whatever you like.
So we watch the games together and she tells me what's going on.
Yeah, then you watch the games together because that's what she wants to be doing.
And then my wife would come home and she'd go, wow, you know, it's sort of weird, but Lupita didn't clean much today. And I go, I don't know. You got to talk to her about that.
You should fire her.
Wow.
But not until the finals with FC Barcelona and FC Jamboree.
Throw her under the bus, Kevin. Yeah. Jeez.
I only did that
why
once because I
thought
it was funny.
Why is that pile of dog hair in the corner not being taken care of? Because Massa Kevin keeps forcing her to translate Spanish language programming.
This might surprise you, but some people enjoy the game of soccer.
You'll never know if she does.
No,
because she's not going to tell you the truth.
She doesn't really have that choice, does she?
How dare you all.
Lupita, get over here now.
I don't talk to anyone.
You tell me what they're saying.
I don't talk to anyone.
Put down that feather duster.
That way. I do not.
I will put a baby in you like Schwarzenegger. If you don't straighten up, I will Schwarzenegger your ass.
That is not the case.
Well, isn't
it?
Maybe we should find out.
Yes. Oh, please.
I think we should definitely find out. We're getting one side here.
I will say, Kevin, that there's no way that she's excited when she gets to the house and you're there and you force her
you,
down
my
into
friend,
the
are wrong.
No, I'm saying you're telling me that she wants to spend 3 hours of her day translating for Whitey.
She doesn't translate. Halftime, Bean.
Let her go clean and make you a sandwich.
Go clean and get back.
We've heard your version of the events as they transpired, Kevin. You'll be happy to know that we did have producer Dave reach out to get us Lupita as well. And
funny comedy bit.
No, this isn't. Well, let's find out if it's funny. Let's find out if Lupita's enjoying her life in your house as much as you seem to think she is. Hi, Lupita. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Thank you for having me.
Lupita. So
Hello, Mr. Kevin.
It makes me uncomfortable when you call me Mr. Kevin.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kevin. I'm sorry, I'm Mr. Kevin.
You sound scared and sad, Lupita.
Well,
I don't know
if he's going to be happy I'm on this program saying these things or not.
Well, just say the right things, Lupita.
But they made me come on the show. They say, you want me to have on and on, and I don't think so much.
It's okay, Lupita. Nothing bad is going to happen to you.
But Kevin, I'm sorry, Mr. Kevin. It's
fine. You don't have to apologize. It's
all
okay. Good. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble.
It's not a whip, is it? You know, get the whip.
Come on. That's ridiculous. Lupita.
We wanted to find out your version of the story about when Mr. Kevin makes you translate his television.
Yes, I tried to clean the house for Mr. Kevin.
Right.
And, you know, he makes me erase the paper plates when he eats on them, you know.
It's just not true.
If there's a stain, I must erase paper plates.
I've never, well, that once.
Clean up the dog hair of all the dogs.
Right.
I have many dogs.
Right off the dogs, okay.
And he also.
But you like soccer, right? I mean, you're enjoying.
When Mr. Kevin shaves his legs, I have to clean up all this hair.
Wow.
Before I had you shave me.
We did Dust Buster. I use the Dust Buster. I don't use the Dirt Devil. No, El Diablo.
Okay. But what about, tell us about the TV. He makes you watch TV with him. He makes you sit down and translate what's going on in the soccer game.
You
right?
love it, right? Tell him you love it.
Sometimes he watches La Liga? Liga.
Yeah. The Spanish Premier League.
Yes, Spanish Premier League. And he says, Lupita, you get over here right now.
I don't talk to you that way.
Tell me what they're saying. I don't understand them. Tell me what they're saying. So I had to sit down. I said, okay, they say now that this player is not healthy. He is hurt. And he may not be returning to game. And I tried to explain to him what happened.
And, uh-huh. and we have a good time.
Doesn't like what happened then. And sometimes he hit me.
Oh, no.
It's just a lie.
He doesn't raise a hand to you, does he, Lupita?
He lowers the hand. First the hand gets raised, and then the hand gets lowered. And he says,
that's terrible.
That's stupid, absurd what you're saying.
That is a lie.
So suddenly it's your fault if he doesn't like the translation. So you just have to start making up stuff that's not really going on in the game just to make him happy.
Yeah, sometimes I say, oh,
the announcer says you're very handsome, Mr. Kevin. And that you're very smart and articulate. And then he says, that's good. And he pets me like a dog.
That doesn't happen.
Lupita, that doesn't happen.
Then sometimes he'll have me translate CNN for him.
That's in English, isn't it?
You say, what does Congress mean? What is that?
Lupita, you've got to get out of there. You got to just run for it, baby. You just got to run.
What does this word mean, economy? What does that mean? And I have to explain, well, you know, it's all about the financial ins and outs of a certain government. It's like, that's stupid, Dr. Sharon, he said to me. Go clean the party bus. And then I go, and then Mrs. Kevin come home and she say, Lupita, why is the house not clean? And I say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Kevin.
None of this is true.
So sad.
This is a lie.
I'll get these strawberry ice cream stains off the wall now, I say. And I go clean the room where Kevin throws around ice cream in the room.
Just, you're just lying, Lupita. Why?
Mr. Kevin's a drinker. So many bottles have to go out to the recycle every week. I can't carry them no more.
Come on.
I have a bad back. Mostly from Mr. Kevin kicking me.
I've never.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
He says, I treat you like soccer ball. And then he kicks me. He kicks me in my spine.
Okay.
It's just not
just
true.
Ugly now.
Someone help me. Help me get out of Mr. Kevin's house.
Oh, right. Oh, they were having a good time, right, everyone?
Party bus.
Our long national nightmare is almost over. Life without Anchorman 2 comes to a close. Tomorrow, when the movie opens everywhere, we'll talk to one of the stars of the film, David Koechner, in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, it's end of the year. We only have a couple shows left today and tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're looking back on the year that was, and now it's time for another top 10 list. This time, the top 10 Kevin Bean Internet Roundup videos of 2013.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
The top 10 of 2013.
Every year there are more and more viral videos, which makes Dave, the King of Mexico's job even harder because Dave's the one who watches them all and puts together the roundup videos every week. What do you think of this? What do you think of this week and this year, rather, in general, Dave?
Oh, man, one of the best years ever. I mean, looking back on doing this list, I was crying looking at some of these videos. And,
yeah.
And I think we forgot about some and how great they were.
Yeah, some of them, especially from the beginning of the year that we haven't seen in a while. But let's count them down, starting at number 10 with our friend Jimmy Kimmel. This was the video where he suckered the entire world in. Remember he had the girl who was twerking and then fell down onto a glass coffee table?
Yes.
And then the entire thing was revealed to be a Jimmy Kimmel stunt from the beginning. In fact, the longer version of the video that was eventually unveiled on Jim's show showed that he was actually there and saving her when they filmed it. Listen up.
Video of a young woman named Caitlin Heller, who's now very famous for a video in which her haphazard twerking led to sending herself aflame.
Thanks, Jimmy Kimmel.
All part of the job, man.
That's right. I forgot she caught on fire, too.
Just a reminder that me and Lisa knew it was fake, but
totally.
We did not know it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Jimmy snowed us all with that one.
Yeah,
that was
great.
Awesome.
Prank the internet.
Bad lip reading does always great videos, but you selected an outstanding one to come in at number 9. This is the NFL edition. So when you're watching the video, you see actual NFL players during the game and on the sidelines. But believe me, this isn't what they're saying.
I can't,
yes, dude. You can. Let's freaking burn that guy. Hit him on the eyeball. Hey, don't offend me.
Can I have this sloth? A skunk. I mean, I can't believe there's a manhole and he fell in it.
I want it now. I want cake now.
How do deaf people actually read lips? If you can do a video like this, it just shows you that things look exactly the same, the real things they're saying versus the fake things, right?
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. Zach Galifianakis has a feature called Between Two Ferns, and every single one of his videos this year was great. But I think, Dave, you selected a great one. This was the Oscar Buzz edition. He sat down with everybody, a lot of the, you know, half a dozen actors that were nominated for Oscars last year. And I think the clip that we have is him talking to Jennifer Lawrence.
So you played in a movie called The Hunger Games.
Yeah, isn't that your life story?
You shouldn't say that. That's off-putting.
You should be off-putting. Because you're fat. You shouldn't eat any more pudding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets worse from there. Mr. Epic Man comes in at number 7. Dave, how would you describe how animals eat their food?
Let's see. Mr. Epic Man is with this comedy troupe that they just show you how the animals eat their food. And it's messy. It's not clean, you know? And this is probably my favorite of the top 10, and it made me cry.
Want to see how animals eat their food?
They tell you in the video which animals they're doing, but you're right. They're not meat eaters, that's for sure. At number 6, how quickly we forget, Kai. He was the hitchhiker who you remember was, he tried to save somebody. There was some sort of a accident or something, and somebody tried to beat somebody up, and Kai was there on the scene trying to save somebody, and for a while he was a hero, and he turned into a great viral video when they took his after the accident interview and remixed it.
So I ran up behind him with a hatchet, smash, 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 yeah, yeah. If he started driving that car again, that'd be a hell of a lot of bodies around here.
Forgot about Kai.
That's the Gregory brothers who do great work.
Yes.
Yeah, they're awesome. Number 5, it doesn't seem like anybody can ever get any kind of surgery anymore without having a family member turn a video camera on them. And that's why you get this girl sitting in the backseat of her car on the way home from the dentist. She's so sad because apparently she realizes she murdered her wisdom teeth.
I'm just flying right in my mouth. I would have protect you. I loved you from the moment.
Honey, teeth are okay.
But they're dead. They were just trying to help me chew. And I didn't accept them.
They were just trying to help me chew, and I didn't accept them. She's awesome. Number 4, I don't know how this became a trend, but we're counting down the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013. Number 4 is a compilation video of goats yelling like humans. They sure sound like people.
They do.
Number 3 is probably my favorite of the year. And this is the crazy lady who a neighbor comes up to while she's stealing rhubarbs out of her yard. And they get into a shouting match about whose property it is and who has the right to those vegetables that are being grown. And I just love this lady so much. You've never met a more foul-mouthed, crazy neighbor than this woman talking about the rhubarbs.
This is not your property. Go somewhere else. You go mind your own business.
No, you just don't know what's right or wrong, do you?
You
like to steal.
You stick your nose in everybody's business. This is goddamn alley property, bitch.
No, it's not.
Just don't have your name on it.
And it goes on like that for like 4 minutes. It's the best.
Kevin's girlfriend's awesome.
When you hear number 2 in the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013, you're going to start scratching your head and think, if this is number 2, what can number 1 be? But number 2 is our little Norwegian friends known as Elvis.
What does the fox say? What the fox say?
That was inescapable in 2013. I mean, it's gonna be on everyone's mixtape for the calendar year just passed as an actual hit song, isn't it? All right, Lisa, any thoughts as to what number 1 might be if we did? We're at Elvis, and he's number 2.
Because I loved Elvis.
Yep.
I don't
number
know.
Number 1. It's gonna take you back a few months,
all right.
But you'll never forget it again when you hear what number 1 is in the top 10 Internet Roundup videos of 2013. Please enjoy.
And do the Harlem Shake.
Of course.
Yeah.
Everybody did a Harlem Shake video in 2013.
We had a debate of which was the biggest hit. Was it Elvis or the Harlem Shake? And the Harlem Shake was just so white hot that it had to be number 1.
Yeah.
And actually ranked at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 when it was out, too, by the way, the Harlem Shake did.
Yeah, because all these views,
Everybody from the Miami Heat to the Kevin and Bean Show did their own Harlem Shake videos. But you can see all of these videos, all 10, at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. And don't forget, when you go and check out the Internet Roundup section, you can also see all of the videos from the past, too. So if there's any that you missed throughout the year, they're all up there as well, too. There it is, your top 10 for 2013.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Hey, whatever happened to the song that was going to feature Beer Mug, wasn't it? Is Nomar working on that?
Hey, that's right! How come Omar's got all the time in the world to make fun of Kevin and Bean with his little Daft Punk song, and he's not working on the beer mug song? That's the guy who really deserves
it. That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to talk to actor Bob Odenkirk in just a moment here from, I think we have him on the phone right now, from Breaking Bad. As you know, all bad things must come to an end. The final, what did we have left, Kevin? 8 episodes,
I think so. Right? Yeah, what a bummer.
The final 8 episodes of Breaking Bad, August 11th. It's very, very sad. Bob Odenkirk, though, man, he has been great on that show for all these years, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you back. The world is already so sad about the final Breaking Bad episodes. I can't imagine what that's like for you.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. I can't believe I got to be a part of this thing at all. You know, I was supposed to be in like 3 episodes.
Is the final decision already made, or can you go back and ask for more?
It's done. Yeah. There's no way the story can carry on because of what happens in the last 8. I'm not going to tell you any specifics, but this thing just like hits the wall like a race car and just shatters.
Well, that's the beauty of Breaking Bad, is that it was always right on the edge. You know, Walter White was always right on the edge of just total disaster.
Yeah, well, he gets to go over the edge.
the reason Bob is on...
And you get to watch it in slow motion.
All right.
Oh, nice.
It's really amazing, you guys. It's amazing. And no other show's ever done this, but because I don't think there's ever been a show that sort of knew that it wanted to end and was like hurtling towards that ending. You know,
right.
Most TV's about trying to keep the story in the air and just
right.
Try to keep it going as long as you can.
Well, I like it when the writers know they've got one season left and they can wrap it up the way they want to instead of just putting something together in the last few weeks of a season. I mean, like Dexter, for instance, is the same thing. We know it's going to be the last season, so it's going to be great to see how they go out. The reason we're having Bob on now, by the way, even though the episodes don't start until August 11th, is because just yesterday came out on DVD and Blu-ray the first half of season 5. You can buy that now. You can get it online or buy it at the stores or whatever. I was in a Best Buy yesterday, Bob, and I saw that they were selling Just Call, I guess it's Better Call Saul T-shirts. They were selling those at the Best Buy yesterday. You get a piece of that?
I want a piece of that. You just alerted me to a piece I'm not getting.
You didn't know. What a bummer.
Exactly. What has playing the attorney on Breaking Bad, Saul Goodman, what has that meant for your career, Bob? Because you're a guy who's been around for a long time, done a lot of things, a lot of writing, a lot of acting. How has your life changed since being on Breaking Bad?
People think I'm a dramatical person now. I've been getting these great drama parts, and it's been loads of fun. I mean, I've always considered myself a writer who got to act, you know, because I did sketch comedy. You guys know all the sketch
comedy. Of course,
comedy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everything from Saturday Night Live to Ben Stiller, Mr. Show, the whole deal, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that probably I'd sort of more like I've found my place as a performer because I think I belong in the drama world more than the comedy world when it comes to actually being on screen. So I've gotten to do this, and I'm in the Alexander Payne film that comes out in November called Nebraska, and I just shot a movie with Robin Williams called Boulevard. So I've been doing all these, and they're all dramas, you know?
You're going to be America's greatest dramatic actor, aren't you?
Yeah, enough with the silliness. Enough with the clown costumes.
What is your, take me back, because you weren't on the cast of Breaking Bad when the show began, right? I don't remember. When did you come into the storyline?
I came in at the end of the second season. The last 3 episodes were, I was supposed to be in the last 4, but I could only do 3 because I had some previous engagement. And then I think people like the character because everybody in Breaking Bad is so tense and anxious and scared they're going to die any second. And then all of a sudden here's this idiot Saul Goodman who, it's all a big joke to him. And
he keeps it loose, yeah.
Yeah, he's just making jokes, and he's going to make money off this guy, and that's him as a way to make money. And if it doesn't work, well, he doesn't go to jail.
Right, that's not his problem.
Exactly. Yeah, the lawyer never goes to jail. Exactly.
Yeah, so I think it was a bit of a relief for the audience, too, because the show can get really kind of claustrophobic, but in a good way. But it's also nice to get that, let the air out once in a while.
Tell us a little bit about Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul, both who just seem like the nicest, most genuine guys in Hollywood.
Yeah, when they're not making meth.
Right. I mean, in their downtime, when they're not making meth, right.
Yeah, they're the best. Those two guys. I mean, Aaron is just the sweetest guy ever. He collects unicorns, this guy.
Did you get invited to his wedding, Bob?
I did. It was beautiful and amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Legit. Just a really sweet, romantic. I mean, really, it's like he's got the... heart of a girl.
I'm not sure he'd consider that a compliment, but I know it is. And Kevin then, mentioned Bryan Cranston, who you talk about what it did for the perception of your career. Wow, what a turnaround for that guy.
Yeah. Now he's going to Broadway, I heard.
Right.
It was crazy. I went to the Jimmy Kimmel show one time, and he was there. Bryan Cranston was there. And sat down next to him, and he just talked to me like I was the only person there and was so genuine, happy, and just the nicest guy in the world. The opposite of what he plays on TV.
Oh, my God. He is the opposite of Walter White. I mean, he's a very sweet guy, very considerate guy, and thankful to be working and doing great work, and a craftsman who shows up with... guns blazing every day, you know, really focused. And I think, you know, he grew up out in L.A. and he, you know, struggled to make it in acting. And so it's all very valuable to him. He sees the worth of it. And he's a funny guy, too.
And he can still make meth for real, right?
You know, you'd have to ask him.
Okay.
I mean, they certainly try to do things by the book there when it comes to the chemical stuff. They have, like, a chemist... came to the set a couple times in the first two seasons, and all their equipment. I mean, just I don't know if you know this, but you know, it's all like technically
legit.
Trying to do it right.
You don't have to tell us. That's the stuff we use.
The first half of season 5 of Breaking Bad is available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital download right now. And, of course, the new episodes start on August 11th. I want to ask you one more thing before you go, Bob, because one of the new features that we've heard about on the new DVD, I haven't seen it yet, is called Chicks and Guns, and it was something that was shot especially for the home release. Do you know anything about it?
I'm in it. It's amazing. It's a scene that kind of connects up some plot points that are left dangling in the show. And it has a real live porn actress in it. And
all right.
She has her clothes off. And I walked into that scene not having seen her like that, and I couldn't say my lines.
Bob knows how to sell a project, doesn't he? Sold. I'm hitting one-click delivery from Amazon right now, Bob. Thank you for that. All right. August 11th is where it is. Follow Bob on Twitter at Mr. Bob Odenkirk. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We can't wait for Breaking Bad to come back. We're so excited. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39. Let's try and keep this civil.
No. These people don't deserve civility. They deserve the Thorballs. That's what they deserve.
I started yesterday writing furiously during the show when Bean was talking about how excited he was about watching the bear camp.
Oh, bear camp.
And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and then I realized there's no way to keep up with what's going on here because Bean's so excited about the bear camp, and I didn't even know what the bear camp was.
All right, let me explain what happened.
Go ahead.
Okay. A bear was spotted in a tree by some utility workers in North Carolina.
Right.
So they called the authorities and said, hey, there's a bear in a tree. And the bear appeared to be stuck in the tree. So somehow the Channel 8 in the town in North Carolina put a camera on it so the world could and did watch this bear up in the tree to find out what happens next.
If you say the world watched one more time, I'm going to hit you with a Thor hammer right in the
balls. The world was obsessed with what this bear was going to do.
So we were mocking Bean and mocking Bean and mocking Bean, and we walk into the office, and Dave the King of Mexico has the stupid bear cam on in the office.
Look at the bear cam.
It was so good.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen. Look, this is the thing. This is the same thing you guys always say about the car chases, the high-speed car chases, is they're live, and you don't know which way it's going to go. Like, what's going to happen next?
But let me just contrast, if you don't mind. In a car chase, there's action. People are moving, sometimes quickly and dangerously. In the bear cam, he's sleeping in a tree. And every once in a while, he'll move his head an inch to the left.
More importantly, then there's two possible endings to the bear cam. Bear comes down from the tree. Bear gets trank darted and falls out of the tree.
And I wanted to see what those happened.
Compared to a high-speed chase, which is 400 possibilities at the end of that versus two. So stop comparing high-speed car chases to a bear cam.
I'm comparing it because it's something that is live, that is happening, and you don't know how it's going to
just
end.
Just barely live.
It's the opposite of a high-speed chase. It's the opposite because there's nothing.
You might as well had an Apple cam and just put an apple on a picnic table and put a camera
on it. But my thing is, who doesn't want to see a cuddly bear in a tree?
Right.
A
60-pound cub is adorable, by
the way.
For how long do you want to see it?
It's a background thing for me. I just look over and I see a bear in a tree. I'm like, oh, it's cool.
They kept the camera on him for almost 3 hours.
3 hours?
And by the way,
Bean is the guy who tells us all the time how unbelievably busy he is.
I have a packed schedule.
I have to go. Are we done playing the show? Because I'm so busy. I have to watch 3 hours of a bear in a tree.
I would like to hear from any of our Kevin and Bean listeners,
to hear from these people.
Who watched the bear cam yesterday. If you had the bear cam going, please give us a call right now. We need some backup here at 1-800-520-1067.
And then spread your legs for the Thor balls.
No. Look,
the hammer of Thor is going to strike you right in the nads.
How can you... Look, this is what... Here my whole thing, Kevin. You know how there are some things that you love so much that you can't understand why everybody... Like hockey for you, for instance. You can't understand what there is to not like about hockey.
But I qualify that...
Because you think it's great, right?
But I qualify that with sports fans. If you're a sports fan, I don't understand how you don't like it. If you're not a sports fan, I completely understand.
And the difference is also, hockey is actually great. Versus a bear in a tree.
In your opinion, hockey is...
No, it's not an opinion. Hockey's a great sport. That is a fact.
I happen to agree with you. I like hockey very much. But there are people who don't, and it's hard to get your head around why they win. Okay,
and those people are wrong.
That's how I feel about the bear cam. I can't conceive of why somebody wouldn't want to see
a bear
in a tree on live camera.
I'll tell you. Because the bear is not doing anything.
If the bear was playing hockey in the tree, then I would see your point.
Kevin, don't you remember when the bear was climbing the tree and it was all cuddly and just like using all four legs to climb the tree?
Are you from another planet? Yeah. Are you not aware that bears sometimes climb trees? We all know that.
But I don't see that every day. So when it's on a camera, I want to watch.
For 3 hours!
I'm not watching for 3 hours. I watch for 30 minutes.
Let me solve your life. Let me fix your life for you. Google bear tree images. Boom, you've seen it. Move
on. Right. Images, not video. Live video, it's happening now.
You're right. If I find a video of a bear climbing a tree on the internet, Dave, I get to hit you in the balls with a Thor's hammer. How about that?
I believe there are videos, but they're not live videos. What's happening right now?
What possible difference could it make?
Here's my thing. Which call should we go to first?
Well, technically, there aren't a lot of people calling.
No, the world is watching. The entire world is watching.
There's not even a person with a request that we could go to right now.
Just like me, the world was watching, except for anyone that listens to our show.
Look, here's the thing, guys. You didn't know how it was going to end.
I absolutely knew. The bear was going to come out of the tree. You know what you never see in trees? Bear skeletons. You know what that means? That means every bear that's ever been in a tree has come out of it.
All right, Bean, did something happen that we couldn't have guessed?
Yes. Something did happen.
Tell us what happened with the bear cam.
And that was that they felt after the first 2 hours, they felt that maybe the bear was being frightened by all of the people
at
the bottom of the tree.
With no resolution.
So they set the police away. They made the police and made everybody move back from the tree. Then they closed down the camera and shut down the live feed and went home.
They got bored of it and left.
And eventually, the bear came down on his own and went off into the woods.
Well, I'm sorry, what happened with the bear? What was the exciting conclusion to the story?
It had fortunately, it had a happy resolution. The bear came down on his own and went off into the woods.
Here's Who could have seen that? You're right. I should have paid more attention to the story because I didn't know that the bear would come down from the tree and go about his bear business.
Here's my question. Why, if a bear can climb up into a tree, do they think that that's a big deal to put a camera on it when a bear could also climb back out?
I wasn't sure about that either. That is exactly
why put a camera on that.
I think they felt
that the bear burst into flames spontaneously, Kevin. They want to capture that.
So they put it on for 2 hours, and we were yelling at you in the office about how unbelievably boring this was.
And you were wrong, right?
And you're defending it today. And what you're telling me is the people that had the camera on the bear
got bored.
They said, F this, and they went home and they did something.
Unfortunately, that is what happened, so we just were left to read about it. We didn't actually get to see when the bear finally came down from
the
tree.
You didn't see the exciting footage of a bear leaving a tree?
I'm sorry I didn't.
My goodness. You know what this is like? This is like The Sopranos when the screen just went black and you didn't know what happened to Tony. That's what happened
with
the bear.
You know why it's not like that? Because you knew the bear would come out of the tree.
No, it's so unsatisfying. I hope Netflix has some more episodes of Bear Cam so I can catch up on these characters and learn more about them.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
We do know. We predicted it and we were correct, except for we didn't think the people with the Bear Cam would lose interest.
The world was watching except for the people who actually ran the camera. They decided not to watch any longer. Thorball for you, sir.
Joe Rogan on the program today. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel will be here, and Bobcat Goldthwait. Oh, Santa Carl stopping by to talk to the kids in the 8 o'clock hour this morning as well. All right, Ralph Garman, how you feeling? You feeling like you're ready to make a world record attempt here?
What's going on? What's happening here? Why'd you call me in? What's happening?
I was watching a show the other day. It was that what's it called? That Paul F. Tompkins podcast show that he does on video. It's very funny, and he had Key and Peele on, and he brought up what I thought was a fascinating world record, which is most impressions in 60 seconds, and apparently the record is 31, which is about an impression every 2 seconds. So they're very quick impressions.
Yeah.
It is hard, yeah. He brought this up when he had as his guests Key and Peele, very popular actors and have the viral video series as well. And I think you're a better impressionist than those guys are.
Wow, that's saying something. They're good.
And I thought it might be fun, and I prepared two different attempts at this, two different lists. I thought it might be fun to see how close we can get to the record. They didn't get anywhere near it, by the way. I think the timer ran out on them at like 23 or something like that.
Oh, well, it's hard. That's a 2 second impression. How do you make
it? It is very hard.
How do you do
it's very hard.
2 seconds.
But you're a guy who. What's the story
you're
on you?
You're a guy
by
who
the way?
I don't know your name.
What's the story on you? How old were you, Ralph?
You?
When you realized that you could do impressions?
I started at a very young age. I started in grade school doing impressions of popular cartoon characters for my friends at recess and lunchtime. And that's when I realized I had an knack for it. It's nothing I take credit for. It's a weird quirk. It's like being able to touch your tongue with your nose. It's just some sort of genetic defect where you're able to do this party trick.
So when you hear a voice on the TV or whatever, you just kind of automatically know how to make those sounds with your mouth.
Not really, but I usually have a pretty good idea, and then I start playing around with it, and then I listen and listen and listen. Eventually, sometimes I can hone in on something reasonably close.
Do you remember what the first one was you ever did?
I believe it was Yogi Bear. The cartoon character Yogi Bear, I believe, was the first voice I ever did.
And that made you boo-boo, a picnic basket. Oh, it's Ranger Smith.
I used to do that quite a bit.
And you're like, 8 or something. That makes you pretty popular at school, I guess.
I was like 6. I was the man. I got all the tail.
All right. Well, let's give it a try. Like I said, we've got two run-throughs at it. I thought this might be fun because we do enjoy your voices. And there's going to be some voices in here maybe you haven't done before. So. Mugs, what do you got for me for a clock?
I got a 1 minute clock.
All right, 1 minute.
So you're
going to
call
seconds.
Out the names, and I'm going to do the impressions.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, hit me, Mugs. Bill Cosby.
Sir.
Charlton Heston. G.W. Bush.
Well, no, that's a Reagan. Freshy.
Mr. T.
Pity the fool.
Michael Caine.
I am Michael Caine.
Matthew McConaughey.
Be cooler if dead.
Oprah Winfrey. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Meatloaf. James Brown.
Get out the good foot.
Don King.
Only in America.
Peter Griffin.
Ryan.
Homer Simpson.
Don't.
Scooby-Doo. Bill Belichick. Bobby McFerrin. Bobcat Goldthwait. Nelson Mandela.
Oh, I was doing current Nelson Mandela at the end.
Oh, I'm going to give you credit for current Nelson Mandela.
How many are we?
All right, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That was 18.
Oh, you know what? If you gave him the list.
Oh, absolutely.
He could do
he had the list
he could
ahead
do 30
of time.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I was just I'm kind of doing it the way that I saw Tompkins do it on the show this week because I thought it was funny to throw them out. But you're right. For speed, if we're really just going for speed, you ought to have the list ahead of time because then I think you could nail it.
That was awesome, Ralph.
All right. You up for trying it one more time?
All right. All right, now that I know how it's played, I'm warmed up.
Yeah, you're warmed up now.
Exactly. Right. Early in the morning. All right.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Whenever you're ready, Beer Mug. William Shatner. Rihanna.
Ow!
Big Bird.
Mr. Hooper.
Danny Trejo.
Machete.
Miley Cyrus.
It's pretty cool.
Frank Sinatra.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Mike Tyson.
Spinal.
Robin Williams.
Oh my goodness.
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, I say, but my royal subjects.
Kanye West.
I'm a creative genius.
Gollum.
My precious.
Tom Cruise.
I like women.
Dave Chappelle.
I quit.
Ronald Reagan.
Well.
Bill Clinton.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Christopher Walken.
I need more cowbell.
Jack Nicholson.
Let me tell you something.
Tracy Morgan.
I got everybody pregnant.
Oh. Very well done. All right. 1, 2, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 again.
That seems to be my glass ceiling.
That seems, seems to be the magic number. Well, we can always try again next week. By the way, incredibly impressive.
Yes.
To not only think of something to say, but to also be able to come up with the voice.
Not that impressive. I've done better work. But not as quickly, that's for sure.
I still laugh out loud when I think about Lisa May curled up around the tree in the parking lot.
It was funny.
The morning. Who brought in the pot brownies, Kevin? Do you remember?
No one.
Allegedly, who brought in the pot brownies?
Someone
I'm not trying to pin it on anyone. It was a guest, wasn't
another,
it?
No, someone no, it in was another somebody, area of
somebody
the
that no longer works here.
Right.
Okay.
Because we have a zero tolerance policy.
Of course we do. But the way I recall the story is that Lisa May had a brownie and felt nothing and said, "This is BS, man." And Kevin, I believe, encouraged her to have another.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, she's wrapped around a tree weeping outside the parking lot.
She said, "I'm going to die.
Call 911. I can't breathe."
And the reason I bring that up is because there's a story in the news that makes me think, I don't know that we've done this phone topic, but we'd like to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners about the highest they've ever been, to the point where they got themselves into a situation that people are still trying to convince them really happened. Like, they woke up after the fact and couldn't believe the stuff that they were doing while they were high that they don't remember. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. But if you've ever, been at a party in Southern California and the next morning you wake up in Las Vegas with no memory of how you got there because that's how high you were, we want to hear from you. And the story that prompted all this is a 21-year-old University of Colorado Boulder student named Taylor Powers, who, by the way, is hot enough, Kevin, that you would have wanted to be there as she was on mushrooms, naked, and fighting off emergency responders who were trying to restrain her on the top of a mountain.
They dialed 911 and said, somebody here is high on mushrooms and we need some help. Boulder County Sheriff's Office deputies, other emergency responders, 35 in all. Sheriff's Office, mountain parks, fire rescue.
35 because it went out over the radio that there was a naked college student who was on mushrooms. That's why every agency wanted to get involved. They didn't need 35 people to tie down a 21-year-old girl.
But
come on.
There were 35 of them, and the article goes on to say it took rescuers about an hour
to subdue her.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
She was fighting everybody, wasn't she?
So she's naked, she's on mushrooms, and she's fighting off 35 first responders.
Wow.
That seems like a good time slash bad time.
That's really high. Exactly. Thank you, Lisa. That's extremely high. This is Rocky Mountain high in this case. Now, I don't know much about mushrooms, but is that the type of – I should be asking Beer Mug. Is that the type of drug that that makes you fight? I mean, is that a side effect of that? Do people react that way?
It might be because it is a hallucinogenic. You do hallucinate off it if you take enough. So she could have, you know, imagined something that just set her off.
Like she was seeing dragons or something from Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Is it the type of thing like we hear about some drugs where people get superhuman strength, basically, where they're able to fight well, you know, well beyond their weight?
No, not like PCP or anything like that. You don't really that's not common with mushrooms.
Can you imagine though her friends, you know, the next day after she's come down from it a little bit,
trying to explain to her? Yeah.
No, seriously, you took off your clothes and then started swinging at all of us.
Oh. At first, it was her two friends trying to, you know, hold her down or, you know, subdue her. And then they had 35 first responders and they couldn't subdue her. And it was just a craziness.
Well, I guarantee that our listeners have done this and better. I have every confidence that this article speaks to our crowd. So give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about you, the highest you ever were and the crazy thing that you did. Do we want to take – we don't even have time. No. You hang on line one there. We'll have them hang on, and we'll get right to the calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Matt Money Smith, just after 8 o'clock this morning, talking all things sports. There's a lot going on, particularly this weekend, and also your chance to ask a gigolo coming up next hour. That's going to be fascinating. We're going to have to tie Lisa down or something so she doesn't leave with brains, I think. First, though, we're talking about this 21-year-old college student, female, in Colorado, got so high on mushrooms that she stripped off all of her clothes while out hiking in the mountains with her roommates and then started fighting them. The police were called. 35 officers ended up on the scene trying to subdue her. Kimberly writes in, I'm going to suggest that the cops were fighting slash letting her win, letting her win because they all wanted excuses to quote unquote fight with the naked chick. And I'm going to call it the mushroom dance. It's like a square dance. One naked mushroom chick trading off partners with the 35 cops that wanted to dance with her, says Kimberly. But we're taking your calls right now about the highest you ever got and what you did, the crazy stuff you did when you were really, really out of it. Let's start with Rob, by the way. He's on line one. This one's going to be tough to beat. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin and B, Lisa May.
Hello.
What'd you do?
About 2 years ago, I smoked a lot of meth, and I ended up walking from Rolling Heights to downtown Riverside.
Rolling Heights to Riverside? How far is that?
What?
40
miles?
It's not that far driving, but walking, it's...
And you did it in 10 minutes on meth.
Yeah, you made fantastic time.
What? Yeah, and then I woke up a couple days in the mental hospital.
Oh my gosh. I'd like to say to advertisers, this is the quality individual you can meet when you advertise with the Kevin and Bean Show. Were you aware of it while you were walking?
Bits and pieces. I remember getting close to Riverside. I was trying to get to the bus to get back out to Moreno Valley, and I have no idea. I guess
when you woke up at the mental hospital, did you have to have them explain a lot to you? Like, what happened?
Explain how I got there. Yeah. Well, what happened was a cop noticed me acting kind of weird, and he approached me. I pulled the knife out and put it up against my own throat and told him to F off.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right. This is a fun story right till then.
It sure was. Are you off the meth now, though, Rob?
Yeah, I went to rehab right after that.
Good man. Good man. Stay away from the meth.
It's not good for
not
you.
Leave that
to Breaking Bad. Yeah, thanks for the call.
I've never been this high in my goddamn life.
Let's try Andy. Andy is on line three, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andy, how high were you?
Really high.
What happened?
Really high and really drunk.
What happened to you?
It was late at night. I took my girlfriend home. We got in a fight, and... I was with another friend too. We were driving over to his house, and we pulled off to get a little bit more high because we weren't high enough. So I for some reason got out of the car and climbed up a light pole and was hanging from the light on the light pole and apparently making a lot of noise.
All right.
one of the neighbors came out and was telling me to shut up, and I climbed down from the light pole, ran over to my truck, grabbed a hammer, went after the guy who came out of his house.
Oh, my gosh.
What's happening?
Now, is this something that they told you about afterwards, or do you remember doing it?
When I kind of woke up in the in jail the next morning, I remembered bits and pieces of it.
Just not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bean, I think we were expecting some comedy answers.
We got maybe like pot.
We got,
but I don't know what these people are doing.
We got knife to throat, and we got Chase neighbor with hair. Yeah, what's happening
doesn't
here?
Doesn't sound like fun. All right, Andy, thanks so much for the call.
Marijuana, marijuana, hey, 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 get high.
Let's try Frank. Maybe Frank had a better time being too high. Frank, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Uh-huh. What happened?
So this was probably around 2 years ago, and it was the first time I had ever smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend didn't tell me how much I should smoke.
Right.
So all I knew was he had a bong, and he just said, keep going. So for about an hour, I just kept looking at his bong, and I must have taken between 10 or 15 bong rips. And
first of all, your friend did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, listen to this. So it was good at first. You know, I got the giggles. But then I started to go into this crazy little panic.
Paranoia, yeah.
Paranoia. And I started talking about the government and the CIA and the FBI and the police, and I thought they were all coming after me. So my friends are sitting there, couch potatoed high, while I'm running around, and I ended up taking all their phones. And I took all of our phones and threw them in a pool because I thought they were tracing us.
So you couldn't be tracked.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was a bright idea. And then for some reason, I thought I was bugged on my clothes.
Oh, my
gosh. So the next
thing
I do is I take those off and I throw them into the pool.
This story just got ugly.
I fetal position for the rest of the night in the bathroom.
Frank, I got to ask you. You said that was the first time you ever smoked pot. Did you go back to it since, or did that swear you off of it for life?
The sad thing is I decided to go back for a little while.
The next day, right?
Exactly.
That's what I thought. All
right. Frank's our man.
Thank you.
You know, we talk sometimes about how it's the golden age of television in many ways. Some of the best shows in the history of the medium are on right now. Shows like Mad Men and Breaking Bad and, you know, Duck Dynasty. But it's also the worst of TV. And if you want to know how bad television can be, take a look at your Fox affiliate during the day. Take a look at what Channel 11's running during the day, where it's Jerry, and then it's Maury, and then it's Wendy. And now they've added the Kris Jenner Show, which is called Kris.
Of course.
We tuned in yesterday for the first time. Kevin, I know you saw a little bit of it. I may have seen more than you.
Oh, I could only take about 4 minutes. And I love Psycho Mike.
Because our friend Mike Catherwood is co-hosting, I think, for the whole week. Here's how the show began with Kris Jenner.
Today on Kris, Loveline's Michael Catherwood joins Kris as co-host. Plus, exotic beauty secrets to feeling young. And learn how to channel your inner warrior. Ladies and gentlemen, Kris Jenner!
So it's beauty secrets and channeling your inner warrior is what's on the program yesterday.
And listen to how excited the announcer is, and the fans are going crazy.
Poor Mike. He had to be standing backstage going, what am I doing?
What is he doing?
We'll get to Kris in the, you know, the monologue, I guess, if you want to call it. But let's listen to a little bit of her interacting with the crowd. And how do they pump these people up? How excited can people be to be in the audience for the Kris Jenner Show? They sound like their team just won the Super Bowl.
But you honestly know how that works. You know how they get a guy out there to whip him into a frenzy, and then he tests him, and he goes, no, you can be louder.
Yeah.
And then he tests him again. If you've never been to a live TV show, this is how they all do it.
But you can see where she gets sort of believing her own.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, she gets a buzz off of
it. Love
right.
me.
Look, if Beyonce were having sex on stage, I wouldn't cheer that much.
All right, I would. Hold it right there. I would.
These people are doing it for Kris Jenner.
Thank you so much.
you guys are fantastic and beautiful and colorful, but are you guys ready to have some fun?
Yeah!
And then it starts all over again.
What is going on?
I don't know. So she sits down and she brings out her co-host for the day, Mike Catherwood, and they exchange a couple of pleasantries. They talk for about, I don't know, 45 seconds, something like that. Mike's just come back from vacation. And then Chris starts telling the first of three unbelievably boring stories in the world. I want to see how much of this we can get through before we just can't take it anymore. Kris Jenner, two things you're going to notice as you listen to her talk on this daytime talk show from yesterday. A, she loves Kris Jenner.
Oh, she's happy with her.
She sure the hell is.
Yeah.
And B, listen to how many occasions she says something casually that is her bragging, her way of saying, look what I have that you don't have. Look how much better I am and my family is than you. I don't even know that she realizes that's what she does, but she's insufferable.
You are so cute. You want to know what I did last night?
What did you do last night? I'm sure it's a lot different than what I did.
Well, I wasn't lying down by the pool or having a vacation. I was tackling paparazzi.
What?
It was a complete Mission Impossible at my house last night.
Because her regular life involves the paparazzi because she's super famous, you guys.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, I tend to go outside and sneak a little glass of wine at the end of the day, you know, because I don't want my kids giving me a hard time. And there's always 50,000 children at my house. So I go upstairs. I'm in my closet and there's a secret door and it has a little balcony. So I go out there. I have my glass.
I have all these kids and I have a balcony off of a secret door in the closet of my bedroom.
What? I have a closet with a secret door.
Yes. I'm better than you.
Glass of wine. Right? And I'm sitting out there. And I had only, it was a glass. Okay. So let's just say that I was having a really nice, relaxing moment.
Now, what does that mean? Why does she say it like she means it's actually something else? That's what I'm wondering. Does she mean I say it was a glass of wine, but it was really a big spliff? I mean, why is she being so mysterious about drinking a goddamn glass of wine? And who has to go outside to drink a glass of wine to get away from their kids?
I don't have the answer to any of that.
It's a weird story, but at least it's super long and boring, right?
Yeah.
And I look off into the bushes, admiring my backyard, and I see a bush move. And then I see somebody moving around behind the bush. Now, I live in a gated community.
I admire my backyard. Dear. I live in a gated community.
You should see how beautiful my backyard is.
It's so much better than your backyard.
So nobody's supposed to get in. And I see a huge, big, fat lens. And then I hear click, 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 click. And I'm used to that sound. I hate that sound sometimes, sure. Especially when it's in your backyard.
I'm so used to that sound, guys. I just, everywhere I go, there's so many people who want to take photos of me because look at me. I'm Kris Jenner.
There are photographers everywhere, and they're always taking photos of me.
Exactly.
And so I kind of back up thinking this guy's got eyes on me. And I'm backing up like, you know, and I'm drinking my wine. And I go and I reach for the phone and I press intercom. And I say I have this intercom in my house just so that all the kids get yelled at the same time so I don't lose my voice.
I have the best intercom system that anyone has ever had in a house because I push a button, you guys, and they can hear it all over the house.
How many people here have an intercom system like that? Put your hands up. None? That's what I thought.
Am I right? Is she just insufferable?
Oh, my
God. Obnoxious.
You tell me when you've had enough, Kevin. We're about halfway through this story.
Oh, no.
Doesn't it seem like she's been talking since 2001 about this story?
And I say, who was it? I said, Kat, who's my assistant. I said, Kat, get upstairs right now.
I have an assistant, too, by the way, while I'm at home on the balcony drinking wine, looking at admiring my yard.
She comes running up, and I said, get eyes on that paparazzi. And I'm going to go back to the phone. She's got eyes on him. We were very sneaky.
This is very Mission Impossible.
This is Mission Impossible. And then I get on the intercom and I go, okay, family, paparazzi, backyard behind the left tree. Let's.
By the way, did she need Mike at all for the?
Of course not. She doesn't need it for anything.
He's barely getting a word in edgewise.
Let's go. And like it was rehearsed and we were doing a movie, every single door upstairs opens. All the kids go running down. Kendall, her boyfriend, Kylie, from all angles of the house. Kim was there. And Kim's on the intercom. What's wrong? What's wrong? I don't realize that I forget that the intercom also goes outside. So this guy had a warning. He sees, and now I forget
crazy.
That. So
It's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, and it also broadcasts over KABC. It's just my intercom system.
I don't think we have the time to even hear the thrilling conclusion of the story, which ends up
what
with nothing
could
happening.
What possibly have happened, though, Bean?
Well, they went outside and the paparazzi was gone. That's basically that's the 25-minute story. But boy, does she love Kris Jenner. Boy, does she have a great life with a sweet hideaway closet with a button and a balcony and the paparazzi and a nice yard and Kim Kardashian.
Community, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Poor Mike had to sit there and listen to this hag for
an hour.
No,
that's on him. That's on him. He should have said no. He's not on all week, is he?
I think he is.
I was just one time he would say,
exciting story.
There is a spot inside the building where K-Rock is called the Red Bull Sound Space, and it has hosted some phenomenal concerts over the years, and today is going to be one of the best because the band Phoenix, one of the biggest bands in the world, you guys, is going to be playing in that tiny little room this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Our friend Nicole is going to be interviewing them and hosting them as they perform live.
How does that help me, Bean? I can't be there.
Thank you for asking, Kevin, because due to the beauty of the internet, you can watch the entire performance live as it streams for you at krock.com today at 5 o'clock. How about that?
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
See? Everybody wins. All right. Excuse me. Matt Money Smith joins us in a few minutes to talk NBA and MLB and so much more. And maybe some NHL as well while we've got him in here because we don't have a sports guy. So we're always excited when money stops by. First, though, Justin Bieber in the news. Ralph did a great story in the Showbiz Beat a couple of days ago about a collection of Justin Bieber quotes from the past couple of years since he's been famous. And this guy says some dumb stuff, right?
He really is a douchebag. And, and you can count on him to always – he's so consistent. And everything he says is dumb.
And about now, him.
And about him.
And about him. Yeah, he definitely has a focus, which is how much he likes Justin Bieber and how much the rest of the world should too. And look, I understand, hey, let's cut the kid a break because he's young and he's constantly mic'd. He's got people, you know, 24-7 writing down everything that he says and everybody says dumb stuff. Nobody says this much dumb stuff. And we wanted to run a couple of these quotes maybe by Justin Bieber for some clarification. So we asked producer Dave to get him on the line for us. And I believe Justin joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Justin. How are you, sir?
Good morning, bro. How are you today?
We're good. We just wanted to run some of these quotes by things that you've said, things that you've tweeted.
Okay. Hey, before we get started.
Yes.
Bro,
yeah.
I just want to say that my heart goes out to all the victims in Boston.
Oh, wow. That's okay. Thank you. That's nice.
And I'm sure they're all Bieber fans. I want to say that.
Okay. You can't.
Justin, again, this is just like with the Anne.
And so I care about them. I hope they're
right. But this is just like with the Anne Frank thing. It's not about you. Why can't it just be my heart goes out to the victims of the tragedy or my heart goes out to Anne Frank? It doesn't have anything to do with you.
I can't help it if people love me, bro. Okay?
Here's a quote, and we want to run some.
What'd you say, bro? What'd you say? F you up, bro.
I said F
you up.
All I said is here's a quote.
Oh, okay.
Here's a quote that you have said. As hard as I've tried, I don't know how not to be adorable.
That's true, bro.
You said no. But that came out of your mouth.
I know. What's it all about? I can't
what
help
it. What a dick.
I hate being so filled with adorable, bro, but I can't. I wish I could change it. Don't you think I'd turn it off if I could? But I can't, bro. I just ooze adorable. Look, there's some more adorable that came out of me.
Okay, you're not nearly as adorable as you think you are, Justin.
I'm pretty damn adorable.
Look, lots of little girls find you attractive, but you sound like a douchebag if you walk around telling everybody how good-looking you are.
I could stop it just for a minute so I could get a rest from being adorable, but I can't.
Not trying to be arrogant, but if I walked down the street and a girl saw me, she might take a look back because maybe I'm good-looking, right?
Maybe I am, bro. Oh, no, I definitely am. I definitely am good-looking. And she would look back at me, bro, because I'm not wearing a shirt, bro. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. You're never wearing a shirt.
What are shirts all about, by the way? Well, why is everybody wearing shirts?
They cover up your pasty little girl body.
When did that become a thing? Shirts.
I don't know. A couple of thousand years ago for human decency because not everybody wants to look at your sweaty armpits as they go through life, Justin.
That's not swag, yo.
April is a fun month.
It is, isn't it?
What a stupid thing to say.
You just said it, bro.
I know. I'm quoting you.
Oh, right. I said that. Well, it is a fun month, man. First of all, bro, first day of April. April Fool's, bro.
Right.
That's fun. Come on.
Right.
Then, later on in April.
Uh-huh. What else?
Showers.
April showers. I've heard of those, right?
But you got taxes in the middle of it. That sucks.
I got what?
Taxes. Most of us have to pay taxes.
Not familiar, bro.
Yeah.
That's all right. Not swag.
All right.
Yeah, he's got people to do that. Here's another calendar question. This, again, a quote from Justin Bieber. Sunday comes after Saturday?
Right.
Weird.
What's up with that, bro?
Well, what kind of question is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
How?
Why? Why doesn't it make any sense? That's just how the days of the week are arranged.
Because the last day of the week is supposed to be the day you rest, right?
Okay.
So wouldn't you sit on Saturday? Wouldn't that be the last day? Like, whew, I'm exhausted, bro. I got to sat my ass down.
Don't try to be smart, Biebs. Don't
come
do that.
Or funny.
Don't do that.
That doesn't make any sense. That's weird, bro.
Let's talk politics.
All right. What's that all about?
I'm not sure about politics, but whatever they have in Korea, that's bad.
Word.
Wow.
That's deep.
That is fact.
Now, do you think people are coming to you for your savvy analysis about politics?
Dude, people want to know what the Biebs thinks about life. I can't change that, bro, any more than I can change being adorable. They come to me because they want insights into life, and so I give them my mad insights on politicos, you know?
So you're just cursed with having too many things that people want all the time.
Dude, I'm so beast. I can't help it.
You are. You're pretty beast.
Singers aren't supposed to have dairy before a show, but we all know I'm a rule breaker.
That's right, bro. That's why I
crazy.
Threw up on stage. Why I threw up on stage. Too much dairy before my show. I took the risk. I don't care. I took the risk for my fans.
You are out of control.
Because they believe. And so I say, look, I need energy to get on stage. How about some three-day-old mayonnaise that's sitting out here? I'll take that risk because I am a giver. I am the Biebs, and they have expectations of me. Right,
okay.
Bro? That's
Justin.
What that's all about. I don't care. I'm eating dairy now. I don't care.
Please don't.
I got some old cheese over here.
No.
It was one of those things, a piece of wood with a spring on it. It was a thing.
That's a trap.
That's like, I don't care. Okay. I don't care if it's a trap.
Okay.
It's Akbar. Akbar. I don't care. I just eat it. I'll eat old cheese. I don't care. Because
don't
I'm
eat
a
any...
rebel. That's what I do.
Don't
and
eat anything.
I am swag,
that...
yo. That's what I'm a boot.
I'm afraid he's going to... Oh, no. Don't, Justin. Oh, no. No, no. Not again. Oh, come on.
Here we go.
Oh, poor. Come on.
Justin, that is not adorable.
April is not a fun month.
One day when I get the time and the money and I carve my own Mount Rushmore somewhere in this great country of ours, the first face that's going to be up there on the mountain is going to be our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. It is Mr. Skin Time. Hit it, Steve.
Hey, Kevin B and Lisa May. How you guys doing?
Good.
Mr. Doing fine, Skin. Mr. Skin.com. What happened to Hit It, Steve, and then the song and then the guest, Kevin?
It happened, just not in that order.
Dear
you're
God.
You're such a stickler for details.
Mr. Skin, Merry Christmas, my friend. How are you?
Yes, same to you guys. Happy holidays.
Thank you,
sir. You are once again doing the Lord's work at MrSkin.com. We look forward to this conversation every year as you unveil the top 10 celebrity nude scenes of 2013. We might not have time to go through all 10, but I did want to ask you again the question about criteria, Mr. Skin.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you factor in what the person looks like naked and how much we're interested in seeing the person naked? How much does that matter in where they rank in your top 10 year?
That's important. I think the biggest thing is celebrity status is huge, and also or the show or something that you would know. Familiarity. You won't see us put like obscure extras into the top 10 celebrity nude scenes of the year. But of course, I think the scene has to be something that titillates, that you enjoy, that's pleasurable to watch.
Then you need to scratch number 9.
Oh, well, you know what? I know it's funny. You're not the first person to say that, but Lady Gaga is in it. And what's amazing is this showed up on the internet in August. This is one of the most famous women in the world.
That's correct.
Completely nude, doing yoga
right.
For no reason. It was like a promotional vid for a Kickstarter thing.
But
it's crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Biggest star in the world, no one cared.
Well, that's not quite true.
Okay.
She's got a ton of hits, I'll tell you that. And I am very impressed. Her body, she does have a pretty smoking body, you have to admit.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, she does look good. It is weird, though. I mean, she really is a mystery. And maybe it's because we've seen so much of her skin leading up to this that it wasn't as shocking as it would have been if we all of a sudden saw someone who's totally buttoned up go naked. But it was weird that that kind of landed with a little bit of a yawn when Lady Gaga went full on naked.
I think it's more because she's done other nude things, but I could tell you this, for all the stuff you've seen, you've never seen it as graphic as this. I mean, she's out in the woods doing yoga naked.
It's
I mean, completely nude. This isn't just like showing a thong at an award show or something. This is full-on, full-frontal nudity. And the biggest thing is that she, you would think this is something you'd do before you were famous versus after you're famous.
Yeah. Right. That's true. I also think you did her no favors by sandwiching her between Shiri Appleby and January Jones.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing. This list this year is so good that if you're not smoking hot, you're going to stand out. And Shiri Appleby from Girls, that wild scene that she had a sex scene with Adam Driver where he left the gift, and Shiri Appleby made her nude debut in that. And then another girl making her nude debut was January Jones, number 8 on our list. She plays Betty Draper on Mad Men, and we finally got to see her topless. By the way, guys, she's swinging around to shoot that gun. She does not have Marty Feldman boobs. They are perfect. she was swinging around to shoot a guy.
So there's movement to take into account there.
Yes.
I gotcha. And I think Shiri Appleby is an outstanding example of the anticipation was so great for so long because so many of us have had a crush on her since back in the Roswell days, and it was shocking to see such an adult role from her because we just don't think of her that way.
Right. Well, and it was even more shocking to see, you know, what she had there on.
She had a beautiful necklace, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I didn't know how best to describe it.
All right.
And I had been, over the last 10 years, you don't know how many guys on radio shows or when I'm asked, has Shiri Appleby ever been nude? Well, finally, the answer is yes, and it was a great nude scene, number 10.
Number 7 on the list, as we move forward with Mr. Skin's top 10 of the year, was a great one, and it was the one that got a lot of people hooked in the opening minutes of Orange is the New Black on Netflix.
Yeah.
This is Laura Prepon, who we all fell in love with on That 70s Show, and actress Taylor Schilling, who stars in the piece, and they are together, and it's quite a scene, right, Mr. Skin?
Yeah, and you know your Orange is the New Black, because this was the opening scene, and when this is a Netflix-exclusive programming. To just show you now that now I can also get Netflix nudity to go along with all the television nudity.
That must have opened up a whole new world for you.
Oh, my God. And it's a women in prison show. We're all going to be interested in that. Taylor Schilling and Laura Prepon, Donna from That 70s Show, in the shower kissing and both topless was fantastic, and that's number 7.
By the way, we've had a lot of the actresses from that show on, and I have protested to every one of them that they set the bar too high with that opening scene because they have never shown anything as hot as that in the entire rest of the series up to this point.
You know, your Orange is the New Black, I said the same thing, because you don't want to put your very best nudity. They did have other nudity, but this was so hot that it was tough to top after the opening.
All right, number 6 was actually the next couple are movies that did not get widely seen, but both had very attractive women in them nude. Amanda Seyfried in Lovelace, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, this is the finally made biopic on Deep Throat star Linda Lovelace, and Amanda Seyfried played her, and I could promise you the nudity didn't blow in this movie. It was fantastic.
Hey!
Here's the thing. She's a great young actress, very daring, and I'm a big fan of hers, and the fact that she played a porn star, you knew she was going to do some good nudity, and that came in at number 6.
And number 5, and again, the category of movies not many people saw, was The Canyons, Lindsay Lohan. This was one that was supposed to be kind of her return to good work again, and I guess she got good notices, although the movie didn't.
And I heard she didn't get paid a lot of money, but let's talk real quick about the incredibleness of Lindsay Lohan's breasts, because for all the craziness and all the stuff that goes on off camera with her, when she's topless in this scene in particular, it just shows she has some of the best breasts in Hollywood, and those are real, and they're spectacular. And not only that, but she also had a four-way with James Dean, Lily LeBeau, and another guy. They're porn stars, and it was pretty wild movie for Lindsay Lohan, even for Lindsay Lohan standards.
We do sometimes need to be reminded what's important about Lindsay Lohan. And that's that she's got a great rack.
It's so good, and this is the best view we've ever had of it, and it really was great.
And this might be an outstanding reason, again, to tell you why we support Mr. Skin, because you don't want to sit down and watch 90 minutes of the Canadians. You do want to be on MrSkin.com and just see the scenes of Lindsay Lohan naked. All right, we got to zip along here for the next four. Okay. The one at number four, you talk about expanding your horizons, Mr. Skin, with Netflix. YouTube now comes into account, and they actually allowed a little more nudity this year than we're used to, right?
We've never had a music video on our top 10 nude scenes list, and Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines, he did a really smart thing back in March when he released this. He did a PG version, then he did an unrated version where Emily Ratajkowski, a model, and two other super hot models were just dancing around in thongs and shoes and nothing else. And you know, who cares whether you like the song or not?
Best video ever.
3+ minutes of supermodels dancing around naked is going to make anybody's top 10 list of the year. Is great.
That Emily Ratajkowski, for my money, the best body of 2013.
Yeah, I agree. She's going to get some anatomy awards for her anatomy come February, no question.
All right, there's a show called Banshee. I don't watch that. That's at number three. Is that a Showtime?
No, that's Cinemax.
Cinemax original programming. Great show. It premiered in January, way back in last January. And when I watched the first season, I thought for sure it would be the best series for nudity because there was so much. But Masters of Sex, really, if I had to say, it was the best. But in the opening scene, the pilot episode, you know how celebrities sometimes fake, you know, mostly are faking sex? Hard to fake this scene in Banshee with Donna Milicevic in number three.
And number two, another actress I've had a crush on for years and years. I couldn't wait to see Trance. Tell us about Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, well, first of all, she's gorgeous. She's part Puerto Rican, part black, part Irish. She's like a melting pot of gorgeousness.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she walks completely naked towards the camera, which for an A or A-minus list actress is rare enough. But to do it, let's say, with hardwood floors is even more impressive. And Rosario Dawson, it just was, I mean, you don't see what you see in this scene too often in a movie.
And that was I really enjoyed that movie from director Danny Boyle, too. I would recommend the film as well. And number one, Mr. Skin's top 10 nude scenes for 2013. I don't think there was any question. We heard the buzz about this one before the movie even got released here. Tell us how you picked number one, Mr. Skin.
Well, it was pretty easy. It's from Blue is the Warmest Color, the French film that won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. And so it's a critically acclaimed movie. The two lead actresses, Adele Exarchopoulos and Léa Seydoux, are gorgeous French actresses. And, oh, yeah, and there's a 12-minute lesbian scene in the movie that it's not just a kissing scene. It is a hardcore lesbian scene that is so good that it got an NC-17 rating, the movie, here in the States. So very few theaters play NC-17 movies. Therefore, very few guys have seen this. So us choosing this was good because when you come to our website, you could see this scene, and it's very difficult to find out there. And I'll tell you guys this, in the history of lesbian scenes in movies, this is the greatest one in mainstream film ever.
Wow, that is saying something. I think it's time for the United States of America to step up its game. We can't let France have this title, can we?
No, but I don't know if many American actresses would do this in a movie.
USA! USA!
Exactly.
USA!
All right. MrSkin.com with a database of more than 16,000 actresses, 28,000 movies and TV shows. It's a one-of-a-kind site for fast-forwarding to the good parts. And, of course, you have
MrSkin.com.
Bad in, bad out. And, of course, MrMan.com if your persuasion goes the other way or for you ladies. Mr. Skin, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for all your time this year, 2013. We'll do it again next year, sir. Happy holidays.
For sure, guys. Enjoy the top 10 at the website. Thanks.